always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Oh boy. We've got a whole group of protesters here, and they've been tackled on the ground, on the green. Police have responded quickly, but I see four protesters that have been handcuffed. They just came flying down the hill out of the gallery. There's some red powder right in the area of the cup.
Yeah, about 4 feet away. And as everybody was running around the green, you kind of wonder what sort of footprints were left out there.
If you were one of these players, one's trying to close out a tournament, one's trying to force a playoff, what does this do to your mindset at a moment like this?
Jim Nansen and the crew there with a call from the Travelers Insurance Tournament over the weekend in Cromwell, Connecticut. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show here at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL, 5:07 in the p.m. Central Daylight Time. We are past the summer solstice, and summertime is definitely here. Chris, that's what happens in the summer. It gets hot, and these people are presuming that the Earth, which has been here, no matter what you may believe, the Earth has been here for a very long time. Newsflash, the climate has changed many times long before human beings and Cadillac SUVs roamed the earth.
And I think also what may be affecting these people, I know Friday night was a full moon. It was actually a cherry moon.
Yeah.
So maybe that had some effect on them as well. I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, Tim, which is, as we know, impossible. But I will never understand how these folks think that shutting down highways, interrupting sporting events, doing these type of protests are going to bring the public to your side, and you're going to have this uproar of support for what you stand for. I don't understand these tactics at all, if it's nothing more than just for attention.
Well, Al Gore and the other urban and the rest of the DC elitists convinced people many decades ago that that whatever you experienced in the weather, whether it was too cold, too hot, rained too much, didn't rain enough, too windy, not windy enough, whatever that might be, if you don't like it, if there's a certain stretch of weather or a certain statistic you don't like, it's because human beings caused it.
Yeah.
And they convinced many people around the globe of this. And as you said, Chris, this was exposed years ago, right? In that dump that came out of WikiLeaks,
yeah,
right?
The universe, Anglican, that's what it was. The university over there in England.
Yeah, so much of this was exposed, and many actual scientists who are worth their weight in gold will tell you they don't know, because the data for the weather and the climate only goes back like 150 years or so, because that's when the technology was invented to track all this stuff. So you have to look at the geological record, right? Like that fellow we had on that one time,
exactly,
who said, look, you know, you look at the geological record, and we have had periods and epochs of warming and cooling throughout the history of the world, and it doesn't mean that Armageddon's going to happen. It actually means there's a period of time between the ice ages where there's more food and resources and warmth for the human race.
Yeah, and how many times have we heard about the Arctic ice shelf is melting and it's not, how polar bears are losing their territory, they're not. We hear about global warming. The temperatures are supposed to be warming. They're actually not. I mean, they have so politicized science, you don't know what to believe or not, really.
So instead, these lunatics do things to draw attention to themselves, like destroying the Mona Lisa, attacking Stonehenge. I still don't understand the attack on a bunch of rocks. I don't know what Stonehenge has to do with climate change. It's been here for, you know, a long time. Ruining people's, entertainment dollar on the weekend. Well, of course, this was in Connecticut, so it's up on the lunatic coast. However, Chris, I will tell you, after the protesters stormed the green and they quickly hauled them off, the crowd in Cromwell, Connecticut started chanting USA, USA. I thought that was a positive thing for the East Coasters.
Yeah,
it's good to hear.
Good for them. And I would think, you know, a lot of times sports fans, even though you can't tell that by the media on the sports side, seem to be leaning left. I would guess if you took a survey of most sports fans, I think they would probably lean on the right and are pro America and love this country.
You know, it was interesting to watch the three golfers who were on that green. They immediately, you know, even though they're fierce competitors, they immediately strengthened numbers, right? They immediately went together. The three of them stood in one place, so nobody had to worry about where they were. Their caddies were right with them, and you had three very different players. You had Scottie Scheffler, you had Tom Kim, and I think he's South Korean, and then you had, I think his name, he's got a funky last name, Bhatia, B-A-H-B-H-A-T-I-A. I don't want to screw this up. I think he's Indian, maybe Pakistani. And, you could see Tom Kim standing there shaking his head in like disgust. Because, you know, to be a professional golfer, I won't broad brush them, but I've gathered that most of them are at the very least free market capitalists, because these guys start out with nothing. They have to create themselves. They pay probably the highest tax rate. They're not owned by billionaires. They're their own business and their own business model. They're hardworking guys. A lot of them just stay out of politics, which is probably wise. But I think most of them tend to appreciate what the greatest country of freedom and liberty on the planet has done for them.
Yeah, you know? I mean, sports is one of those pure things where talent rises to the top, the cream rises to the top, and those that don't fall back. And that's why if you look at the NBA, 99% African Americans have proved to be the best at basketball, and you don't see any diversity rules in basketball or in hockey or anything of nature where one race seems to dominate it. You don't see diversity quotas. That's how it should be in life. The best is the best, and that the cream rises to the top.
You just reminded me of something that happened on Saturday. I was down at this little conference I go to every year called the Missouri Association of Fire Protection Districts. It's an old client I have from my lawyering days. I help out Chief Greg Brown, who's a good friend of ours, good friend of the show, put on this conference every year. I help him get speakers and things and organize it and get the CLE credit and all that. Anyway, there's a wide variety of fire protection districts that come to this conference. Big, small, rural, urban, volunteer, paid. A couple union districts there. Chris, we had a big group from North County. I know Blackjack was there and one other fire district. Anyway, a couple of the guys have gotten to know me really well over the years. And as you might imagine, these are African American fellas. They're chiefs and they are board members. They love our show.
Ah, good.
They listen all the time. And the one guy came up to me and he said, you know, he goes, I've been really working on my family. You know, I'm one of the few people in my family. I'm a conservative, and I'm a small C conservative. I love Donald Trump, and I keep telling my family, can you believe that Joe Biden told us that if we don't vote for him, we aren't black? You know, he was infuriated by that. Anyway, they said they love listening to the show, and they wanted me to give you a big shout out.
There was an organization years ago called FIRE, and it was black paramedics and black firefighters that would support Jim Talent, supported a number of Republican candidates. I can't think of any of their names right now. I know that I met a black fire chief. I think he was from Kansas City or somewhere that on the western side of the state that leaned conservative. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for listening to the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
I think I know who you are.
They said to say hello to you. So, Chris, this story was interesting too. I don't know if this came out in time for you all to talk about it last week, but we'll have to talk to Susie more about this at 5:25. Andrew McCarthy, one of our favorite jurists, excellent lawyer, former federal prosecutor, really writes very serious stuff. Chris, he's written several stories over the last week about how Merrick Garland's special counsel appointment of Jack Smith may be in peril. Yeah. Jack Smith could be removed from the Trump documents case.
Just listening to Andrew on the Three Martini Lunch podcast that was coming in talking about that the statute that Jack Smith was appointed to may be invalid, that he is considered an officer of the United States. An officer of the United States needs to be appointed by the president, mm-hmm. and needs mm-hmm. to be confirmed by the Senate. And with Jack Smith case, neither one of those have happened. And the little part that I heard of the podcast, it seemed a pretty compelling case to me.
Mm-hmm. And the fallout from this will be dramatic. Chris, as you pointed out a couple weeks ago, they'll just say, well, this is just this Trump-appointed judge making a ruling for Trump. But as you just said, the statute and the law on this is quite clear. Listen to this zinger from mm-hmm. Andrew McCarthy. He says what will likely happen is Merrick Garland will have to reassign the case to a district U.S. attorney appointed by President Biden, right. as he should have done. That probably won't cause much delay. It would, however, force Garland to abandon his independent prosecutor deception, i.e. the artifice by which he and Biden claim they've got no involvement yeah. in the government's prosecution of Biden's electoral opponent. All decisions are being made by Smith, a supposedly independent actor. In truth, Biden and Garland are controlling the Trump prosecutions.
And that's the case that McCarthy brought up. He said one of the arguments that Smith is using to stay on the case is that he says he is an inferior officer of the United States, and that way he should be able to stay on that case. But that inferior officer reports to the Attorney General, and Merrick Garland has been saying all along that this guy's independent. I don't tell him what to do. He's on his own. He's doing his own thing. Well, Smith is contradicting him by saying, yes, I do report to you.
Yes.
And here's the statute says that I report to you. So it's kind of embarrassing because they're kind of tripping up each other.
It's all such a bunch of smoke and mirrors. And let's remember, Matthew Colangelo was he was obviously dispatched by Garland and maybe even Smith to go down to New York City and work in a city prosecutor's office to get Trump.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Here's a guy that's in the Justice Department. He's going to leave that lofty perch and he's going to go take a leave of absence and go to the New York City DA's office.
As you said earlier, these people want you to believe that we're all stupid.
They're hiding in plain sight right now.
Exactly. Well, folks, America's under attack. We've had a just series of chaos and calamities, rapes, murders, assaults. I know it's disgusting, it's horrifying, but we got to talk about it, and we're going to do that right now here on the speaker's stump speech.
Listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the speaker's stump speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
Well, Joey, over the weekend, I watched that very famous new independent film, Civil War. Joey,
I liked it.
Boy, Joey, it left a mark on us. My wife's not into post-apocalyptic dystopian stuff, but our neighbors were putting it on, and they invited us over for a glass of wine or two, and I thought it was a fascinating movie. But yeah, Joey, it really left a mark on all of us, because the imagery in that movie, folks, is something we never, ever, ever even want to think could happen. I mean, it really, number one, it's the horror of war, but it's something that we've never experienced, not in this country in a long time, and definitely it was under a different era. Not since the Civil War have we experienced carnage on a warfare level in the United States of America. And so this was modern warfare in the United States of America on streets that were the scenes where Washington, D.C. is under attack, and there's giant barriers up everywhere, and they're literally lobbing missiles at the White House. There's tracer fire blowing up the Lincoln Memorial. I mean, you sit there and it's like it's those things like your mind can't comprehend it. It's horrifying. It's like, I don't care who's in the White House. I don't wish this under a Biden presidency, a Trump. I never want that to happen under it. I don't care how bad the president is. I want them to leave peacefully. I want them to be voted out of office. I never want us to experience warfare like they experience every single day in many nations around the world. I mean, can you imagine? Put yourself in the place of the Israelis, where not just over the last 6 months, but over the last, 70 plus years, they've lived in that kind of a threat of that kind of attack. So just seeing those visuals of the nation's capital being assaulted and bombarded with gunfire. And it was Americans. It was Americans fighting Americans. It was a civil war. As Joey explained, they really never explained the reason for all of it. They just said there was an authoritarian government. Some of the Western states got together, called themselves the Western Forces. California and Texas, isn't that funny, leading the charge. And eventually, at the very end of the movie, they take out the president, whoever it was, and that's kind of where they leave it. And the story is about the press folks, the media folks, who are covering all of this. Well, I know it's not that dramatic yet, but when you sit back and get out of the daily grind in which we're in, right, where we're all so granular every day, right, and we have to be, right, because we're running businesses, we're raising families, we're worried about gas in the tank and groceries in the cart, worried about our kids going to school and if they're safe every day and how are our neighbors doing, and you know, we have the sandwich, we have so much of the sandwich generation now where, you know, folks around my age are worried about their parents and their children. We have communities under attack, and under attack from inflation and on the southern border from the illegal immigration crisis. But step back and look at this, and do you not think that America is under attack right now? No, it's not as bad yet, and hopefully never, ever, ever will be, with an actual civil war where you have actual military might being flexed within our borders, like I said, we haven't seen since the 1860s. But listen to this. This was the story I was delivered last night in my email inbox from the Trump campaign, talking about the two contrasting visions. Now, forget about the fact that I told you it came from any particular campaign, but isn't this happening in the United States right now? Joe Biden's America is one that embraces open borders and an illegal alien invasion, empowers the drug cartels, and has unleashed record inflation that has literally destroyed many American families. Is any of that Pollyannish? Is any of that hyperbolic? Is any of that not true? Those things aren't, I mean, they are campaign talking points, but they're also reality and fact. We have an open border. 10 to 15, nobody really knows, illegal aliens have flooded into our country. There has been a rash of horrific illegal alien crime. The drug cartels, the Border Patrol will tell you, they own the border of the United States of America, not the United States of America. And record inflation is a freaking fact of life that we unfortunately all now have to deal with. 20% across the board. That's what everything costs more of under Joe Biden's plan to unleash our economy. All he's done is unleash chaos. Donald Trump's America, on the other hand, was one of low taxes, extremely low unemployment for everyone, much more secure borders, and much more safe neighborhoods in urban America, suburban America, and, you know, well beyond. A fair debate on this Thursday night would include these six questions. Why, Joe Biden, do you repeatedly misstate your own record and basically spout outright lies about inflation? Folks, there was no inflation when Joe Biden took office. It was 1.8% across the board. Joe Biden then spent bazillions of dollars, wanted to spend much more, and has done nothing to reverse the trend. It's only because of American ingenuity, know-how, get-back-to-workedness that we are even anywhere near 2%. We still have a long way to go. Number two, why do you think, Joe Biden, that while you require Americans to follow the letter and the spirit of the law every single day, that illegal aliens that you're dumping into this country by the millions are above the law? Your administration is deporting 74% fewer criminal illegal aliens than under the Trump administration. Why is that so? Number three, your own Justice Department, in the case against Hunter Biden, just confirmed that the Hunter Biden laptop is real. Do you still consider it to be Russian disinformation, something that you and your party and your willing allies in the media utilize to help you, quote, win the 2020 election? Your own DOJ used that to convict Hunter. So can we now put all of the baloney aside and just admit it's true? And how about we now talk about what's in that laptop beyond Hunter Biden? As Chris often says, they're going to get there in this case coming up in the next few months. That laptop actually implicates the arrest of the Biden family. So do you still deny having any role in all of Hunter's foreign business deals or being present at meetings with his business partners? Number four, why did you rescind nearly every single one of Donald Trump's effective border policies? Number five, why do you want to raise taxes by $2.5 trillion on working class Americans by allowing the Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which has definitely benefited the middle class, to expire? And number six, under your watch, there are brand new wars that did not previously exist in both Europe, the Middle East, and beyond. Why are America's adversaries so emboldened by your presidency, whereas during the Trump presidency, they were much more contained? That would be a fair debate with fair questions, and it would definitely highlight how America's been under attack under the Biden administration. And that's the stump speech for today.
You auditioning to host the debate, Tim?
Oh, I'd love to get on that stage.
I hear you.
I'm really... what do you think? Jake Tapper, Dana Bash? Ugh, Chris, that could be rough.
You know, I don't know who I was listening to. Oh, Vic. Vic Porcelli made an excellent point this morning when I was listening to him, when he was saying with this tactic or this rule that your mics are cut off. It kind of harkens back to what I talk about with the fact checking that goes on the Sunday shows. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to be able to cut President Trump's mic off and then fact check him afterwards. And there won't be anything he can say. So what we see on these Sunday shows where they're just going back and forth, fact checking these people over and over. Just imagine doing it with a dead mic.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be absolutely just sickening watching this.
It's going to be fascinating to see how the Trumpster deals with that. He's been put under worse guns before. Yeah. So we'll see what he does.
Good observation,
on
Vic Porcelli.
Excellent indeed. That's why he's an award-winning radio broadcaster.
That is true.
All right. We're going to get to a break now. When we come back, Susie Moore, she's award-winning as well, definitely in our minds. She's going to talk to us about the debate, what to expect, that potential Jack Smith rejection by the court, and more. Could that actually happen? We'll ask Susie Moore next. 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Presidential campaigns are sometimes compared to a job interview. Voters are the hiring committee. Debates, the in-person office visit. Ronald Reagan was a well-known incumbent in 1984, but at 73 years old, he was asked about his age, a concern voters tell pollsters they have about the 81-year-old Joe Biden.
I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
The canned one-liner showed Reagan could navigate the shifting public sentiment he faced in office.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Yeah, Chris, it's going to be all debate all the time this week, isn't it? Because this is going to be an historic event, an extremely historic event this Thursday.
Tim, this is must-see TV, and I would not be surprised if this is the one and only debate that we see between these candidates. So a lot is on the line. Especially for Joe Biden. Can he handle 90 minutes on his feet? And will he not have any freeze-ups?
Let's see what our next guest thinks about that and more.
Oh, Susie Q, baby, I love you. Susie Q.
I'm the boss.
That's
how
right.
About that?
As she does every Monday afternoon to help us get the week started right, Susie Moore with Red State. She's Deputy Managing Editor at Red State, redstate.com, host of the More to the Point commentary here at News Talk STL Nation, and so much more. How you doing, Susie?
I'm doing good. I'm enjoying this nice summer heat. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are. Susie, redstate.com right now. Top of the fold at redstate.com. There's a great article by your colleague Jim Thompson. Pollster Frank Luntz and historian Doris Goodwin offer up ridiculous claims about the presidential debate. Susie, they kick it off with Frank Luntz saying it's once again the... Susie, is everything the end of democracy? Anything that anybody doesn't like, it's the end of democracy? And secondly, Susie, if Joe Biden just doesn't go outright catatonic during the debate, the mainstream, the corporate media is going to say that he won and he was just fantastic, right?
Well, that's true. The bar has been set so low for him. It's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, you can't not point out the fact that he, you know, the emperor has no clothes. But now, because of that, come Thursday, if he's upright and actually marginally lucid, everyone's going to say it's a big win for him. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out and plays out. And yeah, everything is a threat to democracy. Everything's an end to democracy. And yet when you point out to, for instance, the, you know, talking heads at CNN that technically ours is not a democracy, but rather a republic, their heads spin right off. So, you know, never a dull moment.
Mm-hmm. Susan, I want you to put your attorney's hat on for a minute. Federal prosecutors are recommending to senior Justice Department officials that criminal charges be brought against Boeing after they had those horrific plane crashes back in 2018 and 2019. We usually don't see criminal charges brought in these type of situations, right? Or is it usually civil?
It's pretty unusual to see criminal charges brought against a company. But you know, if the actions are egregious enough, if the damage caused is egregious enough, then yeah, sometimes that will happen. Mm-hmm. And you know, certainly Boeing has been under a great deal of scrutiny, and they've had a lot of issues. So whether they'll pursue this and to what extent is going to be interesting to watch.
Susie, we spoke in the last segment about the fact that there's a very real possibility that Jack Smith, the federal prosecutor, I don't know who wants to get Donald Trump more, him or Alvin Bragg or Letitia James, but he's definitely at the top of the list, but he could get removed from this case. Susie, what's your thoughts on that, and what do you think it would mean for the overall prosecution on the Mar-a-Lago documents matter?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So they're in the middle of a series of hearings and arguments on the proceeding with the case, basically. Trump filed a number of motions to dismiss. A couple of them have to do with whether or not Smith was even properly appointed and whether or not the funding for his investigation and prosecution was appropriately. And those were argued Friday and then this morning. And then this afternoon, there was an argument. Smith is asking for a gag order of Trump in this case. And there was an argument over that. In fact, I've got an article that's about ready to come out about this afternoon's hearing because one of the prosecutors on Smith's team apparently got a little lippy with the judge, which is never advised, and got dressed down for doing so. It's really an interesting, they're interesting issues, and they're going to have implications far beyond just Trump's case, because if Smith wasn't properly prosecuted or properly appointed, then there are questions raised as to whether, for instance, David Weiss is, who's the one who's prosecuting Hunter Biden. There's all kinds of issues that this involves. And I think this judge's take being very conscientious and very thorough. She allowed on Friday, not just the parties to argue it, but also friends of the court, amici. So several, like Ed Meese and his outfit, argued before the court because it's such a consequential issue. So I think she's going to be very careful with her ruling. And it's hard to say for sure what she's going to do. My instinct is that she probably is not going to grant those motions because of it being so consequential and the impact of it. But I mean, they're raising legitimate issues. These aren't frivolous motions. So you know, just imagine if Judge Cannon grants them one of the motions to dismiss. Talk about head spinning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're going to have trouble collecting them all. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure she will not rule immediately. I don't know how quickly she'll be able to turn this around. But because of the nature of the issue, I suspect it won't be, you know, for another week or two. And of course, she may be waiting to see what the Supreme Court does with the immunity issue, too, because that will impact her case as well.
Susie, today marks the 2-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision. Did you think that we would be at this state 2 years out? And what do you see for the future of abortion, especially when we see that after this decision, abortion skyrocketed because of mifepristone or whatever you call it?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of I keep using this metaphor. I know I'm not the only one who's done it, but it's like, you know, where the pro-life movement and Republicans are basically the proverbial dog that caught the car. You know, we fought for 50 years to get Roe overturned. And in some instances, obviously, there were plans put in place for when and if that ever happened. Obviously, like Missouri had its heartbeat law that was triggered as soon as the ruling came down. And a number of states did. But the full repercussions of that, I don't know how well they had been gamed out. And of course, you know, you make one side makes a move, the other side makes a counter move. And there's always this kind of gamesmanship going on. And while the issue for now is back with the states, the issue isn't settled, because even in states that are, you know, largely pro-life, there are things being litigated. Even in states that are largely pro-choice, there are issues being litigated. It's just, it's kind of like you pull the thread and it all unravels and you have to sort it all out.
Folks, we're speaking to Susie Moore, Deputy Managing Editor at Red State, redstate.com, host of the More to the Point commentary. You hear her frequently commenting and contributing here on News Talk STL throughout the entire week and beyond. Susie, Supreme Court, a bunch of huge hand downs coming down most likely this week. There should be an avalanche out of them. What are you most interested in? What are you waiting for? And what do you think we might learn?
So, yeah, there are still, I think there's 14 decisions left to go. And they've got, they originally announced Wednesday as a decision day. Now they've announced Thursday and Friday as well. So whether they'll get them all turned out this week remains to be seen. That's still a lot of decisions. And there's like five or six really big ones.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the two biggest ones are the Chevron case, which is actually two cases combined, that gets into the regulatory state and how much authority has properly been delegated and dished off to the bureaucracy as opposed to Congress and the legislature. And so it's going to be interesting. I'm predicting that Neil Gorsuch will be the author of that piece.
I agree with you.
His niche area. And so that's going to be interesting. And of course, everybody's waiting to see what they do with presidential immunity, because that's going to have huge repercussions, both just in general with the office of the presidency and then for the election. And that one, I predict that that's going to be a split decision. It's going to make no one happy. And John Roberts, the Chief Justice, will be the author of it. But I don't know exactly what it's going to say.
Susie, Supreme Court announced today that it will hear a case, United States versus Scrimeti, a case by multiple transgender plaintiffs and their families against a Tennessee law prohibiting minors from receiving puberty blockers, hormone therapies, etc. Once this case is decided next year, will this put an end to this child mutilation madness? If it is,
well, Chris,
if it is, you know, decided the way we think it should.
Yeah, I would say don't look for any Supreme Court case to put an end to anything, because we've seen with the abortion issue, like we were just talking about, as soon as a ruling comes down that addresses one part of an issue, then you have, you know, well, what about this? What about that? There's always, you know, people that are strategizing and attempting to find ways around rules and getting rules changed and getting laws changed. So I don't know
that's disheartening,
Susie. Settle the issue. I'm sorry.
That's disheartening.
Well, I mean, that's just the nature. Yeah. That's the nature of how we do things here in the good old United States. There are a few issues that have been ruled on that have, you know, I think we could say are settled once and for all. But this doesn't strike me as one that will, but just because the law itself, it's just it's one facet of the whole transgender issue and the agenda. And, you know, where do you draw lines? What's appropriate? What's not appropriate? But it'll be interesting to see how that one unfolds as well.
Susie, quite a few stories at redstate.com about the fact, about the two tiers of justice we often speak about, especially in the auspices of, I mean, you know, of course, the left, as we began the conversation with you, lights their hair on fire every time we talk about January 6th, something that occurred. You know, it was a terribly, horribly tragic day for the United States of America, but it was one day. It happened nearly, 3.5 years ago now. We've got raging violence every week on certain college campuses and in certain urban areas. And Susie, nobody at the Department of Justice or in any of these state attorney general's offices seems to want to prosecute those crimes. And I think, Susie, people are kind of getting fed up with that, aren't they?
Yeah, it is kind of funny that they were like gung-ho to put grandma in jail over protesting in an abortion clinic, but they can't seem to find it in them to purchase, you know, to prosecute, identify, prosecute people who are blocking the entrances to religious, to houses of worship, who are threatening people, who are, you know, destroying property. And you know, you have to wonder at what point the general public in America, just, you know, your average folks who aren't necessarily the most politically engaged, but they look at that and go, you know, this is a bunch of baloney, and start to actually force some accountability via their votes when it comes time for the election, because it's not tenable. You can't do it this way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, indeed. Susie, thanks so much for joining us. We got through quite a bit there. We appreciate your insight and analysis. Oh, Susie, redstate.com doing anything special for the debate this Thursday? Extra coverage, live coverage, fact-checking, anything of that sort?
Fact-checking.
Yeah, we will be doing the live blog, which is why I unfortunately can't be at, you know, with NewsTalk STL to be you know, watching the event, because I know that will be a lively event as well. But yeah, we'll be doing a live blog, so we'll have that going on, and we'll also just have, you know, articles kind of going up right and left on it.
All right, we'll be monitoring that as well. Thanks so much, Susie, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
You too as well. 5:45 in the PM. Chris, just like that, we helped everyone survive Monday.
Yes, a very hot Monday and a very hot week with everything that is going on. Yes. Debate and our event, Saving America tomorrow.
Lots going on. Check out our events pages at newstalkstl.com. Two huge events this week. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Saving America 2024. That will be in the northern lands of St. Charles at the beautiful St. Charles Funny Bone on the downtown streets of St. Charles. And then we go to the opposite end of our listening sphere. We'll be having the debate watch party in beautiful Jefferson County at Johnny's Hideout on Thursday. Love to have you with us at both of them. It's 5:46. Yes, absolutely, indeedy. 5:46 in the PM. One huge jam-packed segment left. We're going to tell you about everything you need to know to prepare you for Larry Connors USA. And Chris has a bunch of stuff. Make sure we don't miss as well.
I do.
We'll be back with all of that and more with producer Joey V here on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Panic at a Crevecoeur movie theater last night after people feared there was an active shooter. Crevecoeur police say they were called to the AMC Crevecoeur 12 theater around 5:30 last night. They say a boy wearing a mask stood up from his seat near the front of the crowded theater and pulled out a gun, which is designed to launch gel beads. He began firing them into the crowd before fleeing the theater. Several witnesses emailed our newsroom saying people, including little kids, were screaming. Once they figured out what that gun was, some people began chasing the suspect. Police say they quickly arrested the juvenile in a nearby parking lot.
5:51 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show.
Yikes.
And I've got to tell you, I first saw one of these gel bead guns a couple of weeks ago at the one of the fairs, county fairs that I attended.
Oh, really?
It was
you
one
did.
Of the carnival prizes where you shoot this thing at, things trying to knock them down. I had never seen anything like this before, so it's kind of weird to be like seeing a gel bead gun and then having this incident happen at the movie theater there in Crevecoeur. First of all, I'm trying to understand, was this some type of juvenile prank that just got out of control, or does this kid have serious mental issues to do something like this? Because in this day and age, when people have guns and are carrying those guns, this young man is very lucky that somebody didn't shoot him.
We always talk about warning signs. I think this would be one they should check out.
And like, definitely.
And like you said, Chris, it could have just been a really, really stupid, not well thought out, dumb prank. They need to find out if it's that. And maybe only that, and he gets a slap on the wrist, or if it's something a lot worse.
Yeah, this was not very well thought out. And I got to tell you, you know, you do things when you're a juvenile that are kind of silly and not well thought out. But, Tim, in my most heightened immaturity, I don't think I would have ever dreamed of going to a movie theater in these times that have happened in the past, pull out a toy gun and start shooting the crowd. I don't think my mind would come to that point as a juvenile joke.
Because in this day and age, I mean, Joey, you go to a ton of movies, much more than Chris and I do, and unfortunately, there's been a lot of these incidences over the last several decades. That's got to be in your mind, right? And so do you sit in a particular spot in the movie theater so you can keep an eye on everybody as well as the flick, or what do you do?
You know, ever since the Aurora, Colorado shooting in 2012 where the kid opened up on people watching Batman, it has been something I think about all the time.
I do too.
And it's mostly just sit in the back row and get on top of my girl, like put her on the ground, and then mm-hmm. I get on top of her, and then we'll just kind of see what happens from there. But mm-hmm. yeah, running, it sounds like you just be sitting duck as well.
Yeah, you just get down, right? You would mm-hmm. just get down yeah. as much as you can.
As low as you yeah. can, and there's a little gum there, a little sticky floor.
Don't worry about it. <It's>, that's what they have dry cleaners for.
Something you're going to have to deal with. Hey, I've got a big news coming out here. I'm going to give you the clue first and see if you guys can figure it out. Mm-hmm. This naturalized U.S. citizen hosted the quiz show Jeopardy for 37 years. And this person is getting a stamp. Can you figure out who it is?
Mr. Trebek.
Alex Trebek,
oh.
yes. Who was amazing to me. Can you believe he died 4 years ago? It kind of seems like it's longer than that, though, does it?
I don't know. I watched Jeopardy every day, and I cried when I found out the news. I mean, we all knew he was sick, but he was really mm-hmm. holding it together, and then it just went and tanked like so quickly. It still was a surprise.
You trying to show everyone that you're intelligent?
I am.
By saying that you watch Jeopardy.
That's why he knows all this random stuff all the time.
You don't have to throw in that clip there that you're intelligent, Joey. We
America's
already know it.
America's favorite Canadian, Alex Trebek.
Yes.
Here's something that's a little alarming, guys. Did you know that the U.S. Postal Service has shared information from thousands of Americans' letters and packages with law enforcement every year for the past decade, conveying the names, addresses, and other details from outside of boxes and envelopes without requiring a court order. Postal inspectors say they fulfill such requests only when mail monitoring can help find a fugitive or investigate a crime, but a decade's worth of records previous provided exclusively to the Washington Post in response to a congressional probe show postal service officials have received more than 60,000 requests from federal agents and police officers since 2015 and that they rarely say no. So, wow. Who would ever thought the post office was like snooping on you and dropping a dime on you?
Big brother is everywhere.
Can't believe that you can't trust the post office? Seriously? Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, and then you have these stories where a postal office worker will have like 3 years worth of mail in their garage because uh-huh. they just didn't feel like delivering right. it that day. Yeah, for a few times, then it adds up and they find stuff from 2 years ago.
Don't they have other things to worry about, like delivering the mail, you know, just spying on everyone?
Something I abuse at the post office as much as I can is they got media rate. You can ship books and CDs for stupid cheap, but you're not supposed to ship comic books because they have advertisements in it.
Okay. I never knew that.
Really? You just tell them like, no, this is just a regular book. But if they rip it open and find your comic book in there, uh-oh. I think they, I don't know.
Are you under investigation?
Joe, you shouldn't have divulged that information over the air, man.
He just told the world.
All right. Cut out the advertisements out of your Superman number one and then ship it and you'll save a few bucks.
Excellent. Oh, well, man. Great show today, guys. Very, very warm today. Mm-hmm. But as I said, we've got a warm week. We've got big events coming up. We've got the event tomorrow at the Funny Bone and with the Heritage Foundation with Joel Griffith and Zach Smith. And, of course, the presidential debate on Thursday at Johnny's Hideout. Larry Connors, USA, is up next. Larry's going to talk about how investigating Texas Children's Hospital was hiding transgender surgery. Authors of Master of Corruption will be on the show, how rhinos will try to destroy a second Trump term, and should Biden submit to a drug test before the debate. That's next up on Larry Connors, USA, from 6 to 8. You've been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Drive safe.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.